Blog Talk Radio.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes, y'all remember that? Come on, EOP and BOI. Say, Lord, I really.
God bless you. You are tuning into the live radio blog talk broadcast of Past Generation, Lost in the Mix, Affected by Sight, hosted by none other than yours truly, Evangelist Missionary Dr. Katrina M. Sanders, member of the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the founder and the pastor is Pastor Robert R. Sanders II. I'm back, you all. I've cleared out my email boxes, so it's been busy. It's been a busy, busy time. I have a lot of things going on right now, and in the process of finishing up this new book that I'm trying to get done at least by the end of September, so I can go ahead and have it sent to the press for release. Hey, I'm back. I received over 200 emails regarding a lot of pastors that are passing away, and they're leaving the business of the church incomplete. The problem that we are having, power, struggle, power, got to be in control and things like that. You know, I receive so many emails. If I go by them one by one, we'll be here till next year. But what I did was right now I just want to talk with the pastors' wives. I want to talk with you all, as well as the board member. My family has served on in the Church of God in Christ. I'm just going to talk about that I know of. And I've studied others as well in college, in the secular university. A lot of pastors started ministry. And when they started their ministry, they began to write up the appropriate documentation that they need to be able to have and obtain a 501c3, article of incorporation, church bylaws, rules, regulations, the constitution of the church, so on and so forth. And that ministry, whether it's independent or if it's being chartered under another denomination. And please understand that if you bring your church into a denomination other than Catholicism and other denominations that do not allow that, have that same order set up, you're going to run into a problem later. When most of the pastors that we know, we've always told them, do not tag on the church that you charter under, because if you do, you're giving it to them for free. all that you work for, you just hand it over to them free. It's best to do it the right way, according to Internal Revenue Incorporated, period, and that's then that be that. There are so many leaders now that are passing away that dying, regardless of age, and the business of the church is not handled. I was sharing with someone on yesterday that a lot of members are unlearned about the bylaws of the church that they're in or the denomination that they are part of. And there are bylaws that are written that will protect the interests of the church as well as the flock. As I was sharing with a lot of people for the last few months via email, via text, via talking personally, I told them that if you don't know your church, jumping and howling and shouting and whooping and speaking in tongues is not going to help you learn the church. No. Your relationship with God is, but you have a leader that is supposed to inform you of a lot of things. I'm finding out that a lot of leaders are selfish and don't want the parishioners to know the truth. When you pastor a church, it is your right to know and establish those bylaws and rules and regulations, policies and procedures of that church. Who are you operating under? Are you independently operating under or you're chartered with someone? But a lot of pastors, when they pass away, because they're trying to hold on to that dollar when they close their eyes, they're not going to take the dollar with them. The dollar's going to pay for their funeral and burial expenses and maybe other debts that may be laying out there unpaid or balances that I do. It does not leave a succession to the church. Guess what happens? Chaos. I've noticed here in Chicago, quite a few pastors have passed away, and they were so worried about not appointing an assistant pastor, not appointing a person to take over, trying to hand it down to a kid or two of their children, whether they're grown or old or middle-aged or however you want to name it. But they end up running into a problem. I was sharing with someone, I said, you don't even know the rights of your church, do you? And they said, well, yeah, I think, no, don't hesitate. And I'm learning that us as African Americans, we are so afraid. We're always afraid to speak out. You know, one of my favorite law shows is Boston Legal, because they always bring out, they've had with real court cases that they can use on the show. And what happened is that when a leader passes and does not leave a succession, then you got a problem. Everybody want to run around and start dividing up. If you got a few elders and deacons, they all of a sudden want to branch out and become leadership. But I want to give you a few things that could happen and additionally add some other things as well. Pastor dies, leaves no clear line of succession. Does your church have a succession plan for the founding pastor? If so, me going back because a lot of pastors are running into a problem, and when they're running into a problem, all they're doing is causing a nasty scare. Many husband and wife teams pastor the church together and desire that if either one of them passes away, that the other will continue to lead the work. However, many of those plans are either expressed verbally to the board, if you have one, and you're supposed to have a board, though in writing, not written in an unequivocal term. This is what happens to a church in another state. When the pastor died unexpectedly, it was unclear as to who would be his successor. Though he had expressed a desire for his wife to continue to work, there was not sufficient language in the bylaws to support it. Two of the board members were not in favor, while another board member and the surviving wife thought it would be automatic. This created a conflict because the board was now split without resolution. Did you know that approximately two-thirds of every independent church in America is being led by its founding pastor? Many of those churches have bylaws that are very weak and do not adequately address succession. There are three things I want to share with you in planning your succession. The bylaws should not state who will succeed the pastor. Many bylaws that state the name of who will be the pastor, who will succeed him or her, that is not necessary. A better and more permanent solution is to state a position within the board that would automatically, that is where a lot of churches are being, are not educated to know it. As I told someone, we do a lot of jumping and shouting and hooping and hollering and dancing and all that stuff. But when it comes down to the real deal, don't nobody want to listen. And this is where a lot of pastors run. Then you get, particularly in Church of God in Christ, we have it bad. I'm just going to be honest. We have it bad. Because when you have a leader that passes away and does not leave a succession to follow by, guess what happens? You have the jurisdictional bishop, the church. If the church is not listed, touching it, independent, that means it does not have a name on there, the charter name, and it's already listed with the state of Illinois, Springfield, and the federal government, then they can't touch it. But if you have the full name, charter name of the denomination you're under, they can come and take it. Because guess what? That pastor left being a nut and decided to do what? Leave it to the church, the national church. So now the national church has to do what? Argue, fuss, fight, and then that bishop would give you a different ones who are petitioning to be the pastor of that church. Now you got to go every Sunday and listen to different ones that come there and all that good stuff, okay? Once they come and listen, now you got five lineup preachers that want the church. But they really don't understand what it takes to take over somebody else's church. Let me talk about my church. I grew up at St. John Church of God in Christ, located at 7657 South Grove Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60619. And my aunt sat on the board of the church. They also, you know, came from Dad Mason back in Mississippi before coming up here. That's where they were at. So, of course, I can say I know this church. But I still had to learn this church. When the founder passed, there was not a successor. So guess what? The successor had to turn around, and you had another pastor that was placed in there to take over. Okay? Once it took over, that pastor left, turned around, and then another pastor came in. So these men just served a tenure but did not have anything that was developing or growing. So then here comes my time, where I served under two pastors prior to the one that passed away and served 38 years. So I watched how the transition of a pastor that may be sick, retires, and steps down. And the former jurisdictional bishop was going to close our church. He was going to demise it. And they petitioned for that not to happen. Follow the words that I'm saying, petitioning. They went ahead, the bishop found another pastor, placed the pastor under the jurisdiction, installed, as well as appointed him to be the pastor of our church. From there, he served 38 years until his untimely death. Now, when you're dealing with new members, I always tell a lot of pastors, don't go in trying to act like you're Ralph Cranston. You're the king, and everybody else are the peasants at the bottom of the pot. Learn the history of that church so you would know how to move forward in the next area and become familiar with each of the parishioners that are there. There's an old saying that says, old school money, pay the bills. Young money, spend it. Because they don't know how to know what to say or what to keep or what to hold on to. So a lot of them basically would just take it upon themselves. I'm going to go in. I'm the boss. I'm the head one in charge. And you're going to follow what I say do. And then the people don't like you. But as I told these people before, the people I was talking to yesterday, I said, you all had a right to tell the bishop you weren't ready. Now, gracefully, you have a 30-day mourning period, but it's not really a rush to place someone in there that may not have the identity of the people at heart. Now, I'm not saying that the people are going to run the path and tell them what to do, but you need to know how to become familiar with the people that you are about to preside over. It would behoove you as a leader to know the personality you're dealing with, which is going to take a long time to do. But a lot of people, men, I've seen, I'm in here now. I'm the one, yeah, listen to me. See, but now you're throwing a gangster move. And beloved, a whole lot of folk are not delivered. I promise you that. They're not delivered. Because when you present yourself like you're going to whoop them, they're going to present themselves as they're going to whoop you back, and they will take their wallets and go out the door. And a lot of these churches, especially in the African-American community, they all, in the African-American community, they got high mortgages. These churches are paying $10,000 to $50,000 in mortgage, for these churches are so in debt. Now, churches, church board members, when your pastor died and neglectfully decided not to make a successor, then he bound you all up. That means he don't love you enough to protect the interests of the church. That means he don't care if the church closed or not. Because he didn't got what he got, and he going to do what he do, and he does. You find out your own way. A lot of them will sit up and say, well, we're going to do a contest, who y'all want. Well, you know, let's be honest, okay? Let's be honest. You don't choose leaders wisely. You know why you don't? Because what you're looking at somebody that can hoop, holler, and bring money. But then by the same token, you're not getting a leader who cares enough to want to get your soul saved. I know I don't have no friends. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to have none. But when you don't choose a successor, you're going to have the deacon board, the mother's board, the missionary board, the greeting committee, the usher committee, the auxiliaries, all fighting amongst each other. And before you know it, pastors, they're all trying to name. You thought you didn't hear them curse. You're going to hear them curse now. And on top of that, you're going to find out who is saved. Because the ones that have been there the longest, they've already sown so much of their earnings and tithes and offerings into the church that they feel they have a right to speak up. See, the world business is so easy. Church is very complicated because we make it complicated. So now when you pass away, nobody expected you to die, but pastors understand that God gives you whatever tenure of life, no matter what you may think. But a lot of y'all are not going to live to be no 100 years old or 900 or 200 or 400 or not even 600 years old. Let's just get the facts straight. You need to have a plan in place. But when the death of a pastor causes war within the church, now the people leave. But guess who don't get paid? The mortgage company, the light company, the gas company, the insurance company, hello, the water bill. Nobody gets paid. Why? Because the church is dismantled. Then when you have these overseers that want to disrupt the program, so you know now you got to fight with that because now the overseer of that church in that denomination is going to come and say, well, you all said y'all wanted some. Well, this pastor's not meeting the criteria, and this pastor feels very intimidating to us. He is making us feel like he wants to beat us up. So you all got to come out and tell the truth. Stop trying to give you little curveball answers. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. It's so easy. Some preachers I've heard say, oh, I'm going to lead a church to so-and-so and so-and-so. Yeah, but can so-and-so, so-and-so take their entire income and back that church out of a debt? I'm just saying. So the thing about it is that when a church walking around with two or three mortgages because the pastor decided to do the money and trying to get other stuff, he leaves the church in a bankrupt situation, what's going to happen? Y'all going to have church outside the tent. That's what's going to go on. Because you all are not knowledgeable. You don't want nobody to tell you anything. So therefore, when you don't want nobody to tell you anything, what happens? You become cold-hearted and stiff-necked. When you don't leave a successor, you cause the church to be in a damnable state, in a confused state of being. If a church has been, if the founder of the church passed away and the sons got it, and the sons turn around and die, and they give it to the grandson, don't do that, don't do that, don't say this, don't say that, don't. Now you got a bunch of people not saying nothing, everybody talking. I'm just saying. Because we get in that state of not wanting to have knowledge. We don't. We want to run everything. We want to own everything. We want to do everything. But by the same token, we're not prepared to learn things right. Then everybody do what? They start leaving. And what is it out? The big gossip is out. Yeah, well, they over there fighting and arguing. That's all you hear. Well, the Bible says there shouldn't be no confusion among us. But we create the confusion because we have unlearned leaders that do not know how to put things in place. So if they pass away, guess what happens? The church at another standstill. I mean, seriously. And the bad part is that the leaders don't want to learn. You're worried about getting paid and whatnot. And you're worried about being seen. But then you're not worried about the state of the church ministry itself. And that's the thing, you know, man of God, you leave your membership fighting amongst each other. Is that what you want? Because that's what's going to happen. And then what happens, you leave your wife with all this confusion. The thing about it is that the wife is sitting there, they're badgering her, they're harassing her, they're leaving her in a state of confusion, and then she don't know what to do. And then when she's dealing with all of the family pain left behind, trying to, you know, catch up on what needs to be done for the church. She don't know what she's standing there. If you haven't left nothing for her to do, this is what she's dealing with. I'm serious. And then she got to sit up here and go through all of this and deal with all of that because what? Business that is not handled. And then everybody fighting and grabbing and groping at the first lady, and they calling her names and saying all kind of crazy stuff. And this is how you end up losing your members. And you know why? Because you don't have your business in order. Instead of being concerned about the state of the ministry and what's going to happen, you left all of the business untacked, not tacked in order enough to be able to take care of. So now the wife's looking all crazy, and then kids started falling apart. It's God forbid, it's the two sons. Now the sons going to struggle, and they're going to start getting their own thing going on. And then from that point on, guess what's happening? The church split. Oh, yeah, the church split. And then everybody called, well, I don't like the son. He did such, 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 goes on. The son, they said, well, it goes on all the time. So now the sheep are fighting amongst each other, and then the family is at odds because what? You didn't leave no successor. It doesn't take, no matter what it is, if you leave the dog as a successor, at least you got somebody in place. If the dog says, I don't want to be in it, then allow some area where it can be revisional. Put a revisional in there. If the dog don't want it, then pass it to my wife. From that point, or pass it to my grandmother, my mama, my daddy, whoever. But leaders, you don't know how to do business. And you want to know why churches go into foreclosures and caught up in a lot of mess. You don't handle your business. So now you have a ministry that is basically at war with each other. Why? Because the pastor did not leave it. And then a lot of them say, well, I'm a just leave the church. I'm going to spit up all the money and let y'all figure it out. Well, that's a very selfish, ignoramus way to think. Because the Bible says in business be men. I've heard a lot of men say that. Oh, I'm just going to leave the church up to it and then let them figure it out. Why would you do that? That means you get a lot of people. You want the money. What you want? You're going to blow up all the money and spend up all the money and whatever else and let them figure it out. That's not godly at all. So I wanted to share that with you, pastors. I want you to think about it. You know, picture 1804. If you don't put your business in order of that local church before you pass, don't think, I'm going to be here until I'm 199. God may take you tonight. What's going to happen? Even if you write on a makeshift will, at least it has some sort of effect. Listen, you all have a wonderful weekend. Until next time, be blessed.